Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you again, Janelda, for leading us, and muchly appreciated. Let's take our Bibles and go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 again. So, as we mentioned earlier, last week we talked about the Church of the Living God, and we affirmed the local church in cooperation, oneness, togetherness, assembling, that's what church means, together, with the larger church of believers. And we're not talking about just any old church because it stands on a street corner. We're talking about a people. Those who have believed the Bible, believed God, put their faith in God, they have been born again into God's family, they have a relationship with God. And to every church of like faith, we stand together and represent Jesus within the community and the world that we live. So last week we were able to affirm that. Today I do want to talk about connections, and I should tell you that what I have to say today or present to us is not something new. Sometimes we need to learn something new, but repeatedly. Like I'm almost done reading the book of Deuteronomy. And when we did that a few weeks ago, the whole book in that one Sunday, we just learned that it's a repeat of what Moses presented to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. And then they spent that 40 years because the Israelite parents didn't pay attention to what God said the first time. And so Deuteronomy was a repeat. Now get this, and you got to think that the children who had grown up watching the deliverance through the Red Sea, and then they watched their parents' lack of faith and they died in the wilderness over that 40 years, these kids now were hearing again the great truths that God had for them, but they also in their mind knows what happens when we don't pay attention to what we once heard way back there. And so often in our Christian lives, it isn't what we don't know, it's what we do know, and yet we haven't taken it seriously. And I was thinking, you know, that I'm not going to share with you a lot new, and I don't think God's so concerned about that. God is concerned, and God knows there's a tremendously great danger that the things that we do know become old to us. And so in our lives often we remember those days when God was drawing us to himself and we came to know Jesus and we learned the great truths of the faith. And it was like the honeymoon stage of our Christian experience, and we rejoiced and we were full of life. And if we're not careful, over time, those things become old hat. And they don't affect us as much anymore. And then we begin coasting along. You see what can happen? We all know that experience. And in a moment, in a day, we can forget even what we read about and rejoiced in the Bible, maybe first thing in the morning, if that's when you spend your time with God. And how can we worship God so vibrantly here and enjoy it for an hour or two, and then someone that really causes us some trouble comes into our life about 2:30 in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, what we learned back there is gone out the window, and I'm treating them like I think they need to be treated. Okay? And those things happen. So, in mentioning these old things today, I just recognize that we ought never to have this stuff become old to us. Because that begins the spiral downwards where we don't appreciate what God has done. So I want to talk about connectedness. And I'm going to go to a little bit first person today. And what I mean by that is I'm going to share with you basically where I'm at in my testimony of what I've discovered and what I revel in. And I'm going to keep asking, are you with me? Are you with me? So I want to talk about the fact that in terms of connections, first of all, and let me say this, it's not all about me, but certainly it is about me. And it's not all about you, but certainly it is about you. It's if God has not done a work in our individual life and we are not able to affirm the great things that we've learned and believed in, then how on earth can we represent that to somebody else? It's me first.
It's my life that God does a work in. So I just want to say this today in terms of talking about connectedness. I believe here in 1 Peter that Brenda read verses 1 right down to, well, we could go to approximately to the end of verse 6. It just talks about the work that God has done in our lives and how precious Jesus is to us. And I was thinking here that even in verse 6, for the scripture says, see, I lay in a stone in Zion. This is a quote from the Old Testament. A chosen and precious cornerstone. That's who Jesus is. Chosen by God and precious. And he is the cornerstone of the church. Without him, we will not stand. And then it says here that the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. So I would say in terms of my first connection that I really revel in, I am connected to Christ. That means I believe Jesus. And I believe Jesus, and I put my faith in him. I trust the Bible. And I believe that Jesus himself on the cross was my substitute, taking my death penalty upon himself when I should have died for my own sin. And then they buried him. That so identifies with every one of us in this room. There will come a day, a burial, when our greatest enemy will, in a sense, think, okay, he's done. He's down. He's out. But that burial was necessary so that Jesus could show us something else. Because we know that biblically speaking, historical documents verify, on the third day, Jesus overcame the grave. And the promise of Scripture is that to everyone who believes Jesus and believes he is the proof that he is Lord by his resurrection, and by his resurrection he proves his ability to be my Savior, then it means that when I put my faith in him, because I identify with him and I want all the benefits of his death for me and his burial and his resurrection, I too, when I die, will overcome the grave, and because I possess the gift of eternal life. I actually possess it right now through faith in Jesus, which means that I never die. Oh, my body may get old and it may quit, but my spirit immediately goes to the presence of Christ. I have everlasting life right now. Christians never die. Christians never die. John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am connected to Jesus. And this is my first privilege in terms of my life with God. I know who I am, and I affirm this relationship. He is precious to me. Now, something I need to pay attention to is John chapter 15, where he talks about the parable of the vine and the branches. And the branches will die if something hinders the flow from the vine to the branch. And so if you take a clipper and you just snip that channel where all that life-giving sap goes to the branches, the branches are going to whistle up and die. And it's a picture of Jesus wanting to share his life with each one of us. And on a day-by-day basis, what it means is I must not allow anything to stop the flow of his love and care and his compassion and his grace toward me. I must not allow sin to block that fellowship. I must be a person who keeps the way open. And even if in my imperfections I slip, I can say, sorry. And that fellowship is renewed. And many times through the day, I have to say, sorry, God, You know, I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have used that tone either. Maybe I should have done that. Sorry for being so complacent. And I'm keeping the way open. So it isn't just a matter of knowing Jesus. Being connected with Jesus means keeping the fellowship fresh. Why is this so important? Because when that happens, then the fruit of the Spirit that comes from Jesus the vine into my life is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And those things are representative of the life of God now working in me. The point would be a little bit this, that God wants others to see Christ in me. So it's me first. And I become living proof. That's what it says in Romans 2. After he says to give your life to Jesus, surrender to him, so that you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it where? Right here. It's me. And I want to be a person who, because of my connectedness to Jesus, has his light shining. And I represent him. His character is being seen in me. It's not about being Baptist or Anglican or United. No. It's a living relationship with Jesus. We all know this stuff. This is not new. But sometimes it grows old. And the Church of the Living God needs to understand that it's not my trying to keep up appearances. It's rather God wants others. God wants me to see Jesus in me. God wants me to see Jesus in me. Others may see it, but I see it even if I keep my mouth shut and I'm in private. Because the joy of the Lord, the peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, those are inner qualities understood and appreciated and treasured by me. Now, as I expose my life to other people, they're able to see it. But it must start right here. So for all of us, it's the issue that Jesus is one that I am connected to. And it's his life in and through me that is so important. I can't help but quote it again. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Trust and obey. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So I affirm today that I am connected with Christ. That's the first connection that needs to be there. I'm alive on the inside. The quality of my life has changed. I have experienced life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. So the question is, as we gather together and we encourage one another, are you with me? Are you with me on this? Or has it grown old? That would not be good. I also would affirm today that I am connected with the church. And we go down here to verse 9. You are a chosen, he's talking in the plural. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So not only am I connected to Christ, but that puts me in connection with every other person of the local church or the larger church who knows Jesus. And so that's why we sang today, I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And sometimes it's not always that way. Sometimes, as we were saying last week, the certain parts of the family are difficult. Not that I would ever be difficult, of course, but You know what I mean. And sometimes churches can really get themselves in a mess where, do I even want to go to church today? Do I even want to be around the gathering of believers? Sometimes believers can be downright arrogant. Or they can be nosy. Or they can be judgmental and intolerant. Do I want to be in a church? No. And I am so glad that we are a church family. But every good family has to maintain the unity and the sense of team and the being alive in Jesus in order to preserve that among us. Because the minute we don't seek to preserve it, we start sliding. And so it's so important to be connected with Christ when I come through that door or when we meet together wherever. Why? Because it isn't what I get in attending church. Being in attendance isn't the be-all and end-all. Now, that is obedience. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. But being in attendance is really, or the gathering of God's people is really, that I have come to give as much as I'm going to get. I've been living for Jesus all week. And as each one of us are doing that, as I connected with Jesus all week, then when we walk in the door, as we've often said, someone said this, that the Spirit of God who lives in me now greets the Spirit of God who lives in you. And we rejoice together. We affirm great truths. We pray together. We seek to minister in unity, in love. And this is the answer to one of Jesus' greatest prayers. So we are not the church as an institution. We are the church as the people of God who've received mercy. And our hearts overflow in connectedness toward God first, but then they overflow in connectedness with one another so that I love my church. And so we've been singing, I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We could equally do it. I am so glad I'm a part of this church family, this gathering of assembled believers. This is so important in our lives. And I just think through our whole congregation, at our opportunity for Bible learning, for caring for one another, for the meals that we deliver and the cards that we sign and the coming alongside families when they're hurting, for visits, for phone calls, for so many things that demonstrate that we believe in guiding and guarding one another. And we eat together, and we have fun, and we're not afraid to joke. And we pray for those who need prayer, and we encourage those who need encouragement. And we are alive with acts of service, and we rejoice in these things. And so today, I am connected with Christ, but I affirm that I am also connected with the church. And loving the church, the people of God, is so important. And as we indicated from 1 John 3:14 last week, we know we have passed from death to life if we love the brethren. That love for other Christians is a primary indicator of knowing salvation through Jesus. So this is so important. Let me say it this way. Not only does God want others to see Christ in me, God wants others to see Christ among us. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I know it's talking about the abuse of the gift of tongues and different gifts in the church being abused. But what Paul is really getting down to is very practical. If we're sitting here worshiping and we're doing something that just is not biblical and we're getting a little bit carried away and this disobedience and all this, and somebody were to walk through these doors, they look in here and say, you guys are gone loony. You are out of your cotton picking mind. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians. Well, it doesn't say that in the Greek. But, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they will say, you are gone mad. However, if a person comes through the door, says Paul, and you are being sensitive to the Word of God, you are open to the Spirit of God,
you were encouraging one another and listening and prophecy is happening and so on. They'll come, and let me put it this way. The warmth of this fellowship, the love, the welcome, the caring for one another. As that individual who may not know Jesus at all comes among us, they will say this. Surely God is in this place. God is so interested in our being connected as a church. Because that is evangelism. Why on earth would we be totally zealous for the gospel, but if a person came through the door, we would ignore them? I believe, and I've said this throughout all the years I've been here, I stole a saying, and it was this: God is not so irresponsible as to commit new babes to cold incubators. Isn't that good? God is not so irresponsible as to commit new babes to cold incubators. He's looking for warm places like our church fellowship. So I'm connected with Jesus, the Christ. I'm connected with the church. But I affirm today that I am connected with our community. And that goes beyond these four walls. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the earth. In other words, this isn't our home. If we know Jesus personally, we're going to heaven someday. And we're just passing through. We're not going to die. We're going to keep going right into eternity if we know Jesus. But as we live here, we are to abstain from sinful desires which war against our soul. That would mean we need to live holy lives where Christ is indeed living in us and among us. And then he says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits you. This is living in a fallen, broken world. A fallen, broken community. And maybe for some of us, it's in a broken and fallen family. It's in a broken and fallen workplace that we are called to be connected to Jesus and connected to one another. And by our humanness and holiness, we are to represent Jesus in areas of darkness, so that the light of Jesus in me may shine there. Did you notice? I was going to go to Ephesians 5:8, but I don't have to. Here in verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, and then you've received mercy. But back in verse 9, he says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And so quite clearly for me, what this means is this, that I need my life to shine. And I want to shine. And it doesn't matter where I am, whether I'm on a sick bed, whether I'm with a family in palliative care, as I was the other evening, whether I'm at Tim Hortons, whether I'm in the truck, whether I'm among the family of God here, wherever I am, it doesn't matter. On my own deathbed, I better be shining. I want to be like so many people who've left our church family in recent years who taught us how to die. And when a person knows Jesus, we don't sorrow like those who have no hope. We sorrow, yes, I hope you'll miss me, but we sorrow as those who have every hope and confidence and assurance in Jesus. And I just want to shine. And that gets pretty basic, doesn't it? Right back to most of your Sunday school and junior church days.
This little light of mine, hide it under a bushel? No, I don't think so. No. Let it shine all over Blenheim or wherever. Christ in me, Christ among us, and now Christ through us. So that in every way, we may make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive by how I live, by how we live, so that others will want to know Jesus. We have so many opportunities that we have sought to create and be involved in. All the things that we do as a church. Is it just to minister together? No. It's to be in our community in a variety of ways. And when we do it, our prayer needs to be that God will take these opportunities and that He will cause that His Holy Spirit will help us to connect with our community. We rejoice in these things. We boast in God's ability to help us to make this happen. And so today, it isn't that this is new, but in talking about the church of the living God, I want to be a living member of that church. And I don't want this to become old in me. Let me share with you a little secret. I've seen many seniors in the Bible. There were many seniors who lost their ability to be vibrant for Jesus in later years. They messed up. They blew it. They got involved in things they should not have. They didn't end well. I don't want to be like that. And so today, the question is, are you with me? I think this is where I'm going. This is my intentional effort to maintain a connectedness in every area of my life. Are you with me in this? Are we together? You know, you could say amen or something. Oh, you are sedate. Must be. What time is it? You should be an hour behind. You know, you should be wide awake still. Your stomach isn't even starting to growl because it's really not 12 o'clock in your mind. Anyway, these are great things. Let's stand together and conclude with this chorus, which is really a prayer. Shine, Jesus, shine. Please, stand with me. Just a reminder, if you can help with the funeral reception next Saturday, see my wife. There are the cards by the mailboxes. Could you please take the time to sign those? And then there are some stuff to give out for the trucker breakfast. And please tell me where you're going to take the posters, particularly if you're going to do that. Let's pray. Father, we just confess to you that in order for us to be living on the inside and overflowing is something we need help with. We don't want to be walking around so bright-eyed and so eccentric that people think that we're an oddity. We just want to represent you by the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control that the Holy Spirit brings about in our lives. Sometimes in great expressions of joy, sometimes in our quietness. We're just there. Bring the presence of Christ to bear very deeply and effectively in our own lives. And now as we go to various places of influence this week, help us to shine. Bring people to know you because of Jesus in us. In His name we pray. Amen.